thank you.
Well, say more. Oh.
Well, thank you, Brian. That's very kind of you. Hey, it's nice to be here this morning, Brian. I'm Bill McCauley, and Brian Papasan is joining me for Talk Show.
Well, you know what the burning question is all throughout the region?
No.
How are the ice cream bars holding up? And have you had a replacement refill for the drumsticks?
I have not replaced the drumsticks, but I have done a refill of some of the ice cream. So,
all right. So it continues.
Yes.
The legacy is on.
Yes. Yeah. The ice cream went faster than the fruit bars. So.
Oh, shock and awe.
Yeah. Weird. So strange. Yeah, I have to say, and I'm not trying to advocate for any particular ice cream brand, but the drumsticks went the fastest.
So, Nestle, right?
The drumsticks.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I bought that stupid freezer full of ice cream and took it to the office, and it has been, we've enjoyed it.
Well, as long as it's being replenished, then no one will be disappointed. Yeah.
Exactly.
However, if there's a turkey found in there?
Well, the turkey's it's in my office, so there is a turkey in there.
Yes,
office,
yes. So. Okay, well, a matching set then. Yeah. Huh? Kind of like cufflinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for your question?
I'm ready for the question. I don't know if it's my question.
Okay. Where did croissants or crescent rolls originate?
In the Crescent City.
Would that be New Orleans or
New
north
Orleans.
Or north of here?
New Orleans.
In 1683. It's not looking good.
No, the timing is not perfect for
yes.
me.
During a time when all the nations of Europe were at war with each other, the Turkish army laid siege to the city of Vienna. The following year, Poland joined Vienna against the Turks, who were ultimately forced to lift the siege in 1689. As a celebration of victory, a Viennese baker introduced crescent-shaped rolls, or croissants, copying the shape of the crescent Islamic symbol on the Turkish flag. Boy, I bet you that'd go over like a lead balloon today, huh?
Yeah. That might not be welcome information to everyone.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Now, normally on the first Tuesday of election month, you've got your little dot sticker.
I did vote.
When?
This morning.
Oh, did you go to a polling station?
I put my thing in the mail.
At the grocery store?
Yeah.
Or in the mail?
Okay. I put it in the mail, yeah.
Yeah, I did a Murphy's drop about last week sometime, and it was so anticlimactic. It was like, this is not right.
When I'm working, 85 to 90 hours a week.
Yeah, you're working
so
ugly.
My wife goes, are you going to vote? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to vote. She goes, well, you have to do it tonight for tomorrow. And so, anyway, thank you, Cynthia.
Oh, well, she knew where it was then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew where it was.
And you only got one ballot this year?
No, I actually got one for me, one for my wife, and one for each of my sons who haven't lived in California in many, many years, and despite many notifications.
Well, I would
don't
presume
even get
that,
me started on it.
I would presume that Cynthia was able to vote on her own.
She did. And the other ones are not voted. But the did you get a postcard in the mail saying if you're no longer at this, if you're no longer an eligible voter, please return the postcard? Which, by the way, is kind of a logic flaw. But
yeah,
ignoring that, I returned the postcards for my sons and wrote on them because they said on the postcard it said, return this if this person no longer lives here
right.
and give it to your postal carrier. Well, I'm not at home to give it to my postal carrier, so I gave it to our postal carrier at the office, and they redelivered it to my house. So I'm thinking that they set up a system that was kind of destined to fail.
A little circular, huh?
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of ballots out there.
Well, I think the next time Juan Pablo comes in, we can talk to him about that. Do you still have them?
Yeah. Oh, so, the cards?
Yeah, so it's got a double postmark on it?
I might have gotten disgusted and threw them out, but I do.
Well, if you don't.
I did receive the cards twice at my house. Once with my green pen writing on it, no longer lives in the state of California.
And your writing's far more legible than mine, so that was not a concern.
It was legible, but it got delivered again. So anyway, I'm not sure.
If you have them, I'd love it as an exhibit.
I'd be fascinated to know how many of those actually made it back to the elections office, because with my experience, I know that two didn't that should have. But
or you could have made the difference in a vote.
In what way?
The swing of two.
What do you mean?
If you weren't as ethical and moral as
that would
believe you to be.
That'd be wrong,
Yeah.
And
It's amazing how wrong is a minority position anymore.
I would not vote twice, even though I think I'm more right than other people in terms of what I would vote for. I'm just kidding.
I'm not kidding.
There is no justification if we get the idea in this country that
somebody's worth more than somebody.
Somebody has more than one voice. That's a sad thing, and so I'm hoping that nobody would do that. That they would look at it and go, "That would be wrong." And my voice should be equal to my neighbor's, not doubled up because my kids happen to have lived in multiple states and still can't get off the voter rolls here in California.
Are they on the voter rolls in their states?
Yeah. Yeah. My youngest one.
So they're not going to get tagged with multiple federal income tax.
My youngest son has lived in Hawaii, Arizona, and now lives in Oregon and still gets a Humboldt County ballot. My oldest son lived in Oregon and now lives in Alaska and still gets a ballot here in Humboldt County.
How many registered voters do we have?
I don't know. And how many people? Anyway.
Yeah.
I just wish we didn't have it because I don't want to think about it that way. I don't want to think about, do I trust my neighbor or not? I mean, that's a bad place to be. We should trust each other. We all, we're all in this together. So we all ought to be going, hey, I'm going to vote for myself and let everybody else vote and we'll see where the votes
lie. You didn't vote for yourself, did you?
That would be a colossal mistake. Yeah. Anybody who votes for me, that would be doubling down on a colossal mistake.
Yeah, there's still time for some of you.
As my dad would have said, that would be double dumb.
Oh, that was the phrase that you were thinking of. I know he was known for a couple of other phrases too.
Yeah, well, that was one he would say. Anyway,
that was before the movie.
That had nothing to do with the movie. So.
Oh, this was pure Macaulay.
I remember, we'd be watching a football game and he'd go, that's dumb. And he'd go, that's double dumb.
Well, hopefully we'll get out of that trough when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy McCauley. Billy, as we look at some of the different things, I'm sure typically, folks are thinking about taxes, but I'm going to give your mind a little vacation from taxes. Oh, yeah.
I'd be welcome.
Well, we kind of talked a little bit about it. I'm on this, I've been cajoled, I think is the right word. Threatened might be another one.
Yeah.
That there might be a renegade bus in the parking lot.
Encouraged.
Strongly. From multiple staff members to have a hit by the bus document. my terminology, I've had people go, what? And then I explain it and they go, oh yeah, one of those. So I think there's probably a better term for some people, but
some people call it disaster recovery manual. They're different. It depends on the scope of the entity there are people who would refer to that as a disaster recovery manual.
Oh, that sounds far more formal than anything I'll ever develop.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit by a bus. Yeah. Whoever the boss is or whoever is in charge gets taken out unexpectedly for either a prolonged or a permanent time frame. Okay, now what? Because I think if you're in a position for any length of time, there are certain things that you don't deem worthy enough to write down somewhere or think about writing down. And it's just there, you bump, 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 and that's your response. And this is, in theory, draining whatever I have left in my head, rendering it onto paper, because I could, if the bus is well-timed, I lose the computer also. So there's no digital reference other than, you know, somebody going in trying to recover off of this molten mass. Do people do this? My sense is that this is done less often than a budget is. And a budget is done very infrequently by most small or micro businesses.
Yeah, I don't know for sure who's done that type of thing and who hasn't. I think most businesses should be contingency planning and in some form or another so that when, as an example in our office, because I have overseen IT since we've been operating together as one firm in January of 2007. So that means that I am involved in things that would surprise people who know me. But that been said, I'm involved. You know, that can take a lot of different directions. As an example, some of it's hardware based, and we have consultants who, you know, most of the hardware and, you know, that they're pretty familiar with. But some of our application software, I'm kind of the one who knows how to
do the do.
Yeah, how to update it periodically and how to make sure that when we add a user, we get it configured properly and get that new user signed up and registered in the proper way. And because I'm no longer spring chicken, we have been working on transitioning some of those responsibilities. But I think it's always a challenge. You know, in our firm, we have lots of cooks. And so, you know, we all have our own recipe books to some degree and what things we do. And so that's an interesting challenge, you know, synthesizing that, you know, in a single place. Now, we also operate.
Well, and going deep enough. So one of the things that I had found, list of the vendors for, let's say, programs. Okay, great. Contact information. Okay. What the programs are, why the programs are, how long we've had the programs.
It's not exactly static either, too, Brian, because because you know periodically you do change programming. Your weekend programming change recently, you know, is changing, and you know you're constantly in a bit of a state of flux, right?
I did remember the date.
Today?
It's everything's dated March.
He immediately just looked at the calendar. That was hilarious. What day is it?
But you know, one of the things that I think needs to be grasped is how granular do you get? Because you can spend the rest, you know, you can spend 15 years putting all this stuff down in paper. Is it functional or not? Should it be accompanied with a verbal? My thought is I'm going to, like with the programming stuff, give it to the guys during the program meeting and have them all look at it.
Yeah.
Let's have some questions. My blanks.
I think that's the best way is to have somebody who would feel like, I mean, and there's no substitute for actually being in that situation where you actually have to pick up pieces, right? But the idea that somebody who might have to pick up the pieces.
That would be role playing, please. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't need to be hit in the crosswalk.
Why is the bus in the parking
lot? Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Engine running.
Yeah. Brian, we want you to lay down.
Yeah.
Just close your eyes. So, the idea that people who would be in the position of having to confront dealing with it, take a look at it, I think that's really important. You know, one of the things going back to this thing that I do with this, just being responsible for updating software, you know, I renew the licensing every year. I make sure it works on every PC. And so a lot of times what I do is I do the first one or two, and then another person in our office will then watch me do the first two, and then off they go and do the rest of the office. And the idea being we're building a little deeper bench for the day that comes someday when I'm not going to be available to do that.
Or maybe you're vacationing somewhere where there's no cell phone coverage.
Oh, I can only hope.
I know, that seems so refreshing, doesn't it?
I've done that one a couple of times, fishing in Alaska.
Oh, I'm thinking more of cruises in the Caribbean. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with, well, CPA for most of the time, but not today. Today he's business consultant,
Bill Business McCauley. Consultant. Yeah. Well, that's a little scary.
Yeah. Well, I can say business advisor.
You could.
And say you were a BA.
Yeah.
Or how about a consulting advisor.
I have a BS.
Dad's line would then be you'd be a CA. Okay, and if you're not from the 60s, you don't get it, but that's okay. We did. In doing contingency plan, disaster plan, worst case scenario plan, whatever you want to call this thing, I still think the bus, I'm going to get a cut out of a bus and put it on the cover of the binder. How deep do you go?
Well, obviously it's going to depend. I think you have to go down, you have to cover the significance parts. And sometimes because we're in the middle of it, we think some of the minutiae is significance. And the minutiae is minutiae. So sometimes we can spend time providing too much information about stuff that really doesn't matter. And not enough time thinking. And I think part of this whole process involves sitting back and thinking about what are our key links and linkages that we have with other people and within our business. You know, I mean, if you're a radio station, maybe your leases for your transponder site would be a pretty significant thing, right? You know that when does that lease expire? You know, or you got tower, you're renting towers, you're renting on the, and if you are tracking your lease and you know that 2 years before the expiration date, I can extend and I can extend it at better terms, and if I wait until the 2 years is up, you know, all those little pieces.
So it's not necessarily the lease. You're saying that, I'm kind of thinking, okay, I got them all in a binder. Yeah. But it's the content of the leases and who's going to spend the time reading the leases at the right time.
And you know, I mean, it's really easy to be out of lease. You know, and you're all of a sudden you're on a month.
How about automatic rollovers?
Yeah.
Those are the wonderful, you know, we got nailed on that one, boy, 15, no, longer than that, I'll say, because I hate the Associated Press. Mm-hmm. It was automatic 3-year rollover.
So the point,
you don't know that you have this window prior to the end of the lease, that's in there on all these documents.
If you have a lease binder, you probably should have the significant lease terms summarized as kind of an executive summary
on the front.
On the front, so the person can look at it and go, "This thing renews in 27. We have an option that we can exercise." By on July 1st of 2026, and if we go beyond that, we go month to month, or whatever.
Right.
And so,
but just a quick white paper
so you can
overview.
Tell. Well, yeah. And the problem is, otherwise, somebody's going to have to pull that thing out and digest it and understand it, and then they can get lost in the minutiae, and not get the salient thing, which is we got a timing issue coming up.
And highlighting does not work because highlighters fade. I found that I'm going through some of this stuff 15, 20 years ago, some of the stuff from mom and dad. I highlighted it back in 09 when bought, and now it fades. Yellow and pink both fade nicely after about 2 years. So if you're relying on that to jump out, nah.
Yeah, and I have really got, I'm really fond of digitizing documents. So even though if you're going to keep an original somewhere that's the signed original in a fire safe or whatever, I like a digital document because it's easy to go in and highlight on a PDF, and the PDF's highlighting doesn't fade.
Doesn't fade, right.
And you can put in notes and say, note this. And so, and the other thing...
And that's a whole different project, though.
Right.
Because it means you have to get your computer together so you know where
you
things
have to
are.
Have the right, you have to have your system that would permit something like that. Now, in our case, we do. So we have...
Show off.
Well, we
I've been avoiding that one for 30 years.
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast with our business, right?
Sure.
You know, because we share documents with clients, and we have a portal system and a document management system, and it enables us to be able to put... You know, store documents, and
is everybody in the same mode? So, if you looked at Phil's computer, would the presentation and how to get to those locations with that information be similar to Bill's?
Yeah, it's very similar.
Okay, yeah. That cuts down on the confusion.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, I was thinking about something flipping I could say, but I won't. But no,
that's right, because he has access to your ice cream.
Exactly. Right now, they might be having an ice cream social, and I'm here. We do have. There are some certain. There's certain authorities that are granted within the software, so that certain people can get into certain files, and other ones they're not permitted to get into. So so as an example, the personnel files and whatnot, they wouldn't be available to everybody, right? And things like that. But certain administrative files and certain other things are not necessarily available to all of our users. But most of our clients are, as an example. So I have clients who come in and there's a trust that's been created. Well, I image up a copy of that trust document so that when I get a phone call from somebody going, hey, I got to figure out what I'm doing with this trust, I'm clicking and I'm opening the trust and I'm going to... They want to know what's going to happen at this point, and I'm trying to find that in the document, which isn't always easy because every trust document, most attorneys use a different template, and so it's not always easy to immediately...
Oh, really? It's not standardized?
Not totally, no. Huh. So they got their favorites. And who's to say, right? That's all fine. But the point being, I'd set my fingertips instead of saying, hey, I've got it stored in our poured in place concrete vault, which we do have.
Hang on for a second, you hear the footprints run out the door.
I can do that kind of instantly. So the point being, the same thing applies here. If you can digitize those documents, it makes the risk that the bus runs over me and my technology less, it's
still
it deflates
accessible.
That a bit, right? So something to think about.
There are obviously different types of businesses. There's those that have a single leader. Mm-hmm. Then you've got those that have senior management positions. And then you've got, various permutations off of that. Would you recommend that all in management decisions or management decision-making positions do something like this, have something like this, review their area of responsibility? All bases are covered.
So if I'm in governance and, as an example, I'm on the board of a local bank. Okay, there's only one of them, so you can probably figure out which one that is. And, we have processes that have been adopted. And the banking, keep in mind, banking is unique in a lot of ways because it's such a highly regulated industry, so to speak.
So some choices aren't.
Well, the point is you got people coming in and going, hey, do you have a, do you have management succession plans? And do you, there's impetus to do this that comes not only from inside, but from outside, right? There's pressures to make sure you do this. The bank's fairly good at it. And there's, and for each senior manager, as an example, there's a succession plan for that person. And it, there's a short term and a long term. And it could be, the short term could be the long term, you know, because it, you know.
Right, it could be similar.
But, yeah. But, or, the you know, it could be very different. But the point is, and each position, you know, as an example, in a bank, you know, is very, very unique, and they require talent and ability to for each one of those positions to be done, and not, there's nobody in the bank who can do all of them. You can't just say, well, that, let's just retask old Bob over here, and Bob's now going to be the CFO. Well, you know, Bob was really good over here, but maybe not to be CFO. And there may be somebody who could do all those. There probably is somewhere, but for the most part, that person, those people don't exist. You know, you have a, in our bank, we have a very talented risk manager, and you know, and he is training folks actively with what he does, because that's part of the process. You have to be doing that, even if your horizon is long term. I'm going to work for 20 more years.
You don't know when the bus is going to come in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we don't know when the Pabst 9 bus is going to be rolling.
So. Oh, now I'm driving it too.
Yeah. So anyway, those are all important things, and they're different, right? So if you have a plumbing business and you've got two employees, you probably have a different set of concerns than if you have a plumbing business that has 40 employees. Probably a whole
500.
You know, the scope. Yeah. And all those kind of companies exist, right? So the scope is different, and so you know the likelihood is that somebody who has two employees and runs a plumbing business, if they get hit by a bus, that business is gonna have a hard time keep going, right? Because you just got the operator and two people. Now maybe
you just lost a third of your staff.
Yeah.
One shot.
And most of the brain power. In terms of operating the business, not necessarily that people aren't smart, but I mean, with that experience, because they don't, you know, unless you can download the brain before.
Well, one of the things that I was intrigued by is, well, there may be 15 providers of programming that we use for the various stations. The contact information wasn't necessarily, I mean, I'm now going through the phone looking for emails, or I guess actually the computer, looking for email addresses of who the last contact was, because they have their turnover. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're noticed and sometimes you're not noticed what's going on.
Yeah, I run into that just within the confines of what I do. We send out, for most of our individual clients, we send out what we call an organizer form, and people return it, and that has contact information in it. Some people look at it, some people don't, but and then you know, somebody can send me an email from a new email address. Well, do I have all those systems aligned so that my inbox knows there's a new email address over here? But do I have it in our communication system that we've established in the office, or is it in two places? And do I have two different email addresses or two different cell phone numbers or whatever? Or you know, have I made note of the fact that they no longer have a landline at home?
Yeah,
you know, and we've got
once you get it, the maintenance of this stuff is tough to do.
The note for our admin people is, hey, this is done. Give them a call when it's ready, except that phone number doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. So you have to have a process in place to make sure that
touch base.
You know that we can maintain that, and that's the same thing you're running into.
Right, right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:47.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:51. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So once you get your contingency or hit by a bus plan in place,
right,
testing it. You know, that's, you know, we have so many examples around here, EAS, OAS, or OES rather, the tidal wave, role-playing,
yep.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. And the government types have, do a great job in being able to do those, narrow the gap, narrow the gap, narrow the gap. How do you do that with something like this?
Well, you can either kind of convene a session and kind of work through it and say, what happens if this, what happens if that? There are things that should be tested. As an example, if you're thinking about information, your information system, you know, what happens if you lose power, and what, how do you bring things back up, and, you know, the various testing of, you know, what are your backup systems? Are they working? Can you restore from your backup systems? You know, all those things are interesting questions out there that we should all probably have the answer for. But the thing is like, do I really want to shut it down and restore my this data from this backup? What if it doesn't work? You know, you start going, okay, how much time could I be investing?
There really is a worst case scenario. I'm chasing worst case scenario.
Yes. And so there's always that risk that if you say, okay, well, we're going to do this to test this system, and then you find out it doesn't work, but then you create yourself another problem. So you got to be careful and think through what those tests look like so that you're not, you know,
creating work for yourself and panicking
creating,
the staff.
Undue amount of work. I mean, the point is, yeah, I mean, you know, we all should be, and we do a lot of things to try to, you know, in the event that we can recover, but until you don't know until it happens. And so.
Yeah, and hopefully it doesn't happen by surprise.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's when that's the way it does happen, usually.
Yeah.
Generally, it's a surprise. Something comes up, we're trying to figure out, are we really ready for this?
Well, and I would think for some of the stuff, if it becomes not a regular event because of oversight, but a regular event, well, others are going to start to see and feel and understand what's going on, and at least you got half a chance
and I think
to make it through.
Also just engaging other people in your organization in some of these tasks.
Too much fun. All right. Back to your pencils.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.